You're connected to CMN Network.
K-E-8-R-U-H.
Connected to CMN Network.
KC2GO.
You're connected to CMN Network. Currently connected to CMN Network. Connected to CMN Network.
Richmond reconnected to the network in 8WRO.
KFA, GFO, listening.
You're connected to CMN Network. Connected to CMN Network.
K-E-A-W-U-O.
K-E-A-W-U-O, this is K-A-A-U-H-T.
How's it going there, Stephen? Hanging in there? I'm heading into work. But, should be, nice day from what I can see already.
Yes, we had the rain and all, which is good, which we needed. I was holding off for the grass cutting. I figured that it soak up a little bit of water, that's what I was hoping. Which I think we only got where I'm at about a quarter inch. They looked at a weather station that hooked up to APRS type of thing, so which is just 2 blocks away from me. So despite with the sounds and all that, I think only a quarter inch.
Gotcha, yeah. You know, it was definitely some interesting long thunders last night. I remember waking up around like 4 in the morning or so to this rumble, and I'm like, is that thunder? Like, it's still going, you know? And then it finally settled down, and then around 6 this morning, the dogs wanted to go out, so I let them out, and it was still lightning and thundering with a light drizzle. So, but yeah, I want one of those weather stations. That would be a cool thing to have, to kind of keep track of the weather on my own accord.
Yeah, they, yeah, so it's pretty nice. Like, I think there's one in Fraser I'll look at. Remember, was it last year? Yeah, it might have been last year. When they had that big downstorm, the downpour. I remember going to sleep, and I was taking a nap, coming home, putting my feet up. And I was like, I had put a 55-gallon drum thing that's cut open in my neighborhood, so I was by the gutter at the drum, and I collect water because he was not cleaning his gutter. And so I went and I looked at it, and I was like, boy, it looks like this thing is full. I looked down the street, watering, and my neighbor was with his friend doing some stuff for his dad's work truck. And the water started going in the shop at Masonic and Grosbeck. And I looked at the weather station over there in Fraser, and they got like in an hour, within 2 hours, they got 4.5 inches of rain.
Yikes, yeah, that would be the type of rain event that causes a lot of problems. That much volume of rain in that short amount of time, you know, that tends to not be good, but we got out of that one, so this quarter inch should have been handled pretty well, but yeah, I was surprised that it's, you know, it's like we want just a ton of rain, but we're just getting these little sprinkles, and it's always missing us, you know. It's like going south of us. Monroe seems to get hit a lot, but down here or up here in Macomb County, we seem to get, you know, slip right through the middle of some, because I'll see it north. I'll see it, like, hitting St. Clair, but not us, and north of St. Clair. But, and then the west side of the state seems to always get hammered. Those poor guys are getting hit with heavy storms frequently, where by the time they get to us, they've really died out. But, yeah, the west side of the state would be a wild side of the state to live on, with the lake effect snow, and then I suppose it's basically lake effect storms, but yikes.
Yeah, you're right about that. That's, you know, like you say, that lake effect stuff is no laughing matter. I remember some years ago, this goes back some years, gotta be maybe 20. It might be 20 years ago now. My brother-in-law's sister lives on that side of the state, and then I have a couple of nephews, and you know, that live over here. You know, on over this side with my sister and family, and his brother-in-law and all that. But cousins. One of the cousins there is the boy is. He's a little bit, maybe a couple years older, and he had his, he's got his driver's license or so, and I remember it was around just before Thanksgiving that year. It was his mom, and he asked if he could drive, whatever, and it was one of those things, the lake effect snow come up, and he had some black ice underneath it, and lost control of the vehicle, and he died, and the mom, you know, is a nurse. And all, but he had some ribbon, you know, internal injuries that, you know, took a couple of years to kind of heal, you know, and of course, you know, emotionally that stuff, that's a kind of a scarring thing that never quite, you know, it's always an issue, right? But yeah, it's no joke.
sorry, Stephen. I just got a phone call. I'll be right back. K-E-A-W-U-O.
Yeah, very good. K-E-A-U-H-T.
K-E-A-W-U-O. Stephen, you still out there?
Yeah, John, yep. Switched up that, took the opportunity to switch up some batteries and put the other one on charge there. So, yep, still here.
Okay, gotcha. Good. That story sounded awful, you know, driving on the fresh snow with the black ice underneath it, and those are definitely the type of things that that are hard to heal from. Not just the incident itself and the problems that, you know, that those kind of accidents caused injury-wise, but also, you know, losing your loved one. And a lot of people talk about the survivor guilt and things like that. And, it's not a good thing. Not good at all. I don't know. Life is tough like that. I knew of a pastor who this weekend was going down and baptizing people in Shelby Township, and on his way into the water, he had like a heat stroke or something and passed away just on his way into the water. Didn't even get to baptize anybody yet, and it's just kind of crazy that life can be so fragile, and you don't even know. You know, you're happy, and you got big plans for the day, and next thing you know, you're at the throne. So, but I don't want to get all negative, but yeah, I'm sorry to hear about your friend or whomever, and hopefully all is well. Other than that.
You're connected to CMN Network.
Yeah, oh, but yeah, they're depending on the west side of the state, like you say. Like, in-laws to my sister, but who knows the family, but you know, haven't been in touch lately, but, yeah, things go on. But I think it was from South Haven or something, but anyway, they were, you know, they're in a, like one of those communities right along Lake Michigan. And, but one thing I've been doing here, too, John, has been trying to, I finally heard something on the CMR radio. I was wondering, you know, because I'm going to switch up to the MI5 network thing, and I tried to program it, and I was looking at the last search thing, and I've got, like, 3, 4, 5 entries in there. At least it has my call sign, my number, my CMR ID, and my call sign. But one of them, is good, but the other ones have like a pink in it. So I've been a little bit hesitant about it, even though I changed it. I don't know what I had on the one that wasn't pink. So I kind of laid back a little bit on it, and I didn't want to get kicked off the system or something. So I figured I'd check with someone. But I did hear this morning, I had the radio on, and I think I heard Tom Pujo there. Tom, give a call. I think that was his call out there. So I did hear something on the DMR. It's been pretty quiet. So it's the first time I actually heard a voice coming back.
Gotcha. Okay. So you saw some pink interest. Yeah, I can jump on there. I actually did get to work, so I'm going to have to run inside here in a minute, but I'm trying to see if I see your call sign anywhere. I see a KB9WSL that had some talk group-related issues, potentially. And I don't see a KA8UHG on today's list. Well, it's not today's list, I guess, but it's... I guess it is. So yeah, I don't know. It looks like Devin was on there. Tom was on there, and David, I think, was on there. I don't know. If you want, keep monitoring the MI5, and probably in about 10 minutes I can jump on there and say hi, and you can give it a go on the old EM32.
Yeah, okay. Yeah, it's on the other side, the dual watch thing. So, yeah, give me a call or so, see if how it works out. And I say I don't want to, wear out my welcome. But, because I just been programming it from the face of it. So I'll let you get in there, whatever you got to do there. Give me a call in about 10 minutes or so. This is KAUHT.
Alrighty. Well, I don't think you need to worry about wearing out your welcome on that MAX-5. We'll catch up in a few minutes here. I'm gonna get Rocky and myself inside and say hi to everybody, and then get settled in at the desk and get the DMR radio handy, and then I'll throw out the call, and hopefully we'll be talking again soon. Well, for now, this is KEAWUO. I'll be here. AFA-FGS, monitoring.
Currently connected to CMN Network.
Kilo Foxtrot 8 Foxtrot Golf Sierra calling. Whiskey Bravo 8 Papa Bravo. Do you copy? Whiskey Bravo 8 Papa, Bravo, do you copy? Kilo Foxtrot 8, Foxtrot Golf Sierra. No response. Whiskey Bravo 8, Papa, Bravo. This is AF8FGS. Monitoring.
Connected to CMN Network. You're connected to CMN Network.
Yeah, no problem. David came in there, and I gave a call back, and he had a little CISO, and so. But good. You called just in time because I just updated my radio ID. So I'm looking at last year. It doesn't have my call sign, but it does recognize the ID. So I went from a 1, you know, 1 that begins with a 1 to 1 begins with a 3 now.
Connected to CMN Network.
WAFU stroke 2.
Are you off on your mission?
I am. Man, let me tell you, New Yorkers don't know how to drive. New Yorkers. They're horrible drivers.
One hand on the wheel, the other one with your finger in the air. You kind of salute them.
It's just stupid stuff. You know, not fast lane, slow lane, speed limit. Anyhow, went through Canada. That went much smoother than I anticipated. I got screwed. I asked for a large sedan, like an Impala or something like that. I ended up getting a Nissan Kicks. Got the smallest little box SUV you can get.
Yeah, they tend to not tell the whole story. So, although, you know, lately, with the war, we've been using Hertz. And there you can walk out and fix your car. That's been kind of a good deal. We've got like an executive texting with them, so, but last couple, three times, just whatever's in the lot, you know, what do you want, you can take it.
Well, I set this up all in advance. I asked for, you know, a large sedan, you know, I told them it was a one-way drop off in Albany, and it just, this is all through Hertz. They got the car wrong, and Hertz tells you if you're going to take a car into Canada, you've got to get this yellow card. Of course, I went to the
I lost most of that.
Yeah, it sounded like it was getting pretty funky. So I don't know if it's because I'm in rural upstate New York or what. But anyhow, hopefully that's better.
Yeah, it is. So, how much farther before you get destinated?
Oh, got a ways to go. About 3.5 hours, 3 hour 45. Looks like I'll get in about 5:10. 251 miles to my next turn, which is in, I think, right in Albany. I don't know, but now it's telling me 3 hours and 45 minutes. Arrival at 5:10ish.
Are you meeting with the agent tonight or tomorrow morning?
I don't see the point. I'm not going to hustle it back, although I could, but I don't know. I guess if I'm on schedule for 5 o'clock, I could ask him if he's going to be there and we have enough time. You know, then you know, I could still stay at the motel and just leave much earlier. Or I don't know. I guess I'll see how I feel when I get in there.
You're all very good. What time did you hit the road this morning? I was occupied this morning. We had a lot of things going on.
Uber picked me up about 7:45. I was probably in my rental and on the road by 8:10. I didn't bother to get on the radio. I brought my clear note and my EM32, but I didn't even bother. You know, by the time I got situated, I was still pissed off about the wrong car and all the snafu on the insurance. You know, if I get a straight answer, by the time I settled down and got into the groove, I was crossing over into Canada and I didn't even bother. So, anywho, this is the first I've been on the air, but I was on the road officially with the rental car at about 8:10.
Oh, very good. Okay. All right, yeah. Just went and had lunch with Marion. I dropped her off back at the house. She's back to the office. My son, my partner, and our other partner, the minority partner, and Walker are at a car dealership golf outing today. So, we want somebody there with some intelligence that's got to be at the office. So, I told him I would stay there.
So I'm in New York. I'm on the northern route that comes out of Buffalo. It runs, it's a toll road. Although it doesn't look like a toll road in the class event. It's a limited access. Oh, radios or phones active there again. Is this a limited access with like Oasis's? Because I just passed the gas station rest stop and it looked like it was just easy on, easy off. There wasn't an exit, per se.
Yeah, very good. Did you get the iPass or the toll pass or whatever the heck the thing was called? Were they able to supply you with one of those?
Yeah, I looked at what they charged for the easy pass for the day. And versus what the tolls would be, and I saved about $3-4 by doing the easy pass through the rental. So I just got the all-day rental, or all-day easy pass. I think it was like $14, and the tolls were about $19, so I saved about $5.
Well, I know in some states it saves a lot of time, too. Of course, a lot of them have gotten rid of the cash boxes. A lot of them now are zoom through and they get your license plate in a year or two, they find you and send you a bill.
Yeah, Yeah, as far as I can tell, that's the way this is. I wouldn't even know I was on a turnpike except for, that oasis I just passed. But there's some, areas where I'm guessing there used to be toll booths. Now there's just, these devices that shine down on the cars. So I guess they do it by license plate. So on the way back, they're going to shoot my temporary. Then whenever they catch up to me, they'll send me a bill, I guess. I heard something about if you call them in advance, when you get home, if you go to the website and enter in your information, you can avoid, extra surcharges or something. I don't know. So going to try to figure it all out, but not too worried about that.
Yeah, I bought an easy pass. And I didn't use it enough, and they sent me a letter and a box, told me they wanted it back, no charge. Please put it in the box and send it back to us. So I did. That was about a year ago, maybe two.
You're connected to CMN Network.
Yeah, the guy from the auto dealer, he says, oh, he goes, make sure you bring your easy pass. I'm like, easy what? What the hell is that? He goes, oh, don't worry about it. He goes, I'll just bill it back to the tag. So the tag's going to be registered to me. It's going to be a temporary tag, 30-day temporary. So I don't know what kind of time that's going to cause.
Okay, Mr. Sean, I got to step out. I'm at the office. So, and I got to get in this crazy place because I'm the only one here, like I said. So, chat later. WABD listening out.
Okay. I'm just sitting here in upstate New York, plugging along. Catch you later, WAFU.
WAFU. NHWRO Richmond.
NHWRO Richmond from WAFU WAFU Lake Ontario. No. Batava, Batavia, New York. There you go.
So you're in New York State. Isn't there something, we talked about this before, about if you weren't in Canada, you're supposed to put some kind of a suffix or a prefix on your call?
I don't believe that's required. I think in Canada you have to do the BE3. So you got to do, W8FU, and then you would append it with a BE3. I think that's the norm in Canada, or you have to do in Canada. I don't think in the States you got to do anything of the sort. Although it's not uncommon for people to do W8FU stroke 2, mobile 2, I guess. I don't know. I've heard people say stuff like that, but I don't think it's necessary.
Oh yeah, copy that for the States. I was thinking Canada. That was it though. VE3 or something. And you're clear to do that, that's fine. And, of course, with the other service we dealt with, GMRS, not allowed whatsoever. You dealt with that, I know.
Yeah, seems to me GMRS shouldn't be allowed anywhere. Canada's just, they've always been more civilized than us.
All right, that's hilarious there. I like that one. So just wanted to mention, I talked to Wally earlier when he was working on the New Haven. There was a PTT incident two times on Richmond. We didn't hear any audio at all, but it just kept going. So I temporarily removed it from the FBI. And then, it stopped. So, of course, I reconnected it back. But Not sure what that was. It could have been a stuck mic, but I didn't actually hear any audio.
Yeah, I heard that last night. It was definitely a stuck mic. It's kind of a little bit noisy, no audio. Somebody just had a mic stuck or something. And, it was like fluttering in and out, so it wasn't terribly, wasn't real strong. But, yeah, I heard that. So I don't know who's the chucklehead, but there's a bunch of people that just toss their mics in their cup holders, do all sorts of other stupid stuff, and they just, too special to make sure that their stuff's, get proper operational parameters. All right, I digress.
Yes, the old cup holder problem there. Yeah, that's kind of what I thought. Usually you hear some background, audio on that, but nevertheless, that's, I'm sure that was what it was. So it times out at 3 minutes. Is that about right for these sets of three?
Yeah, that's typically where I set them. I believe I set that in the All-Star parameters, so it can be adjusted. And I told you I was going to look into it, but just, between the funeral last week and this new car thing popping up, I just haven't yet been thinking about it. But, I'll make it so that when you're doing, like the net, particularly the Sunday night net, which I saw you did that, and everything was perfect, and then they didn't have a net. It's like, But, we'll make it so that we can disable the timeout timers for that purpose.
NAWRO. Yeah, that would, no worries. We didn't have a net, and I think primarily I'll just do the thing we were talking about, do it on the Mecca. And at one point we were doing it on the Mecca, so I'm wondering if that's going to be okay, won't time out, because it was working, prior. And then, yeah, I suppose Wally explained to me about there's two settings. One is for an actual PTT, and then one is just for the repeater itself. Is that right?
Well, these repeaters have an internal repeat and an internal timeout timers, which all that should be turned off, and then you do it all with the All-Star controller. The repeaters themselves have an internal repeat, timeout timers, pre-emphasis, de-emphasis, all that stuff. They're designed to operate with a very minimal controller built in. But when you replace it, when you put an All-Star controller in, you have all that additional functionality, you should turn all that stuff off on the repeater itself. Unless you have, there's a thing called fallback or in-cabinet repeat, where if for some reason you lost the All-Star controller, it would fall back, it would do very minimal, it would repeat, it would ID, all that stuff, but just very, very minimalist fallback in-cabinet repeat. So, anyhow, for the most part, all that should be done with the All-Star controller, and it's much more adjustable at that point.
Yeah, that StateNet is an interesting one, the HF one, because it's opening up the squelch full time for the entire net. But then that's the other thing. These are, what do they call that, full cycle or full duty? So in theory, they could just stay transmitting.
Yep. So, well, we're, like I said, we, with all that stuff John accomplished recently with the, macros and the scripts and stuff, we got to sit down and I and now design some and get that implemented, because I'm guessing that a lot of the stuff we want to do with timers and things like that will all be disseminated to the, to everybody, through John's macros.
Yes, he's in fact today's an today's an IT meeting, I think, so I can ask and see where he's at. He says he's getting really close on that, and we did mention about the permanent box to check that, because he would have to account for that, I think. So like right now I'm on the Richmond's, and if I disconnect to the FBI, of course when you disconnect you're not going to check permanent because it's not permanent. But my question, it's a trivial question, but if we don't check permanent upon disconnect, when we reconnect, is it necessary to check? I'll still do it, but is it necessary to connect permanent because you didn't change the status?
Yeah, each positive connection requires you to set it. What I've noticed with the AllScan app is that it will disconnect either a permanent or a non-permanent, a regular or a persistent connection, which is interesting. I like that. So you can disconnect either one. You don't have to bother with the checkbox, from what I recall of testing it. However, when you connect up, you have to specify permanent or, it won't be persistent. I like persistence better than permanent. Permanent has other connotations, but it looks like I'm in Rochester. So Rochester, New York, 1 mile, the exit at least. And the only, reason you have to check permanent is if there's a network burp or if I reboot the hub or something like that, they'll just make sure that it was, connect back up. So it's not the end of the world, but because of that audio issue we had a few weeks back that we found we just had to drop and restart the repeater, I decided that every Sunday morning at 4 a.m. I'm going to drop the hub, restart the hub, and then everything can reconnect. So I think it's there's one of those toll booths. Just a string of devices across the road. But anyhow, like I say, every Sunday morning at 4:05 a.m., I'm rebooting the hub, and hopefully that'll take care of that one incident we have. Do you remember what I'm talking about?
Yeah, I certainly do. That was when John and I were connecting for Annette, and it just wasn't working. So that was when the 1010 needed to be, disconnected and reconnected. But you're doing it. I copy. You're doing that automatically on Sunday morning. That's a great idea. And I now understand the connect need. So there might be occasion that we do something that is non-standard, such as connecting the Mecca to FBI. We don't want that to be permanent, so obviously that's just temporary. But, of course, when we get done with it, we're going to reconnect it the default way, and that would be permanent, check permanent. So, yep, I copy. I grasp it now. We're really good. I really do like this. So I do look forward to seeing how John does this for the various nets. That's going to be fun.
For what it's worth, I always connect permanent, no matter what I'm doing, even if I'm just connecting up for the, for their, tech net or something like that. I don't do that, but I always connect permanent. So if there's a bump in the network or something like that, I won't drop. It'll wait, and then when the network recovers, it'll connect back up. That's why I don't like the word permanent. It sounds like so much more than it really is. It just means it's a persisting connection. That if there's a bump in the network or if there's a little, snafu or something like that, it'll remain waiting, and then when the network recovers, it'll just resume. I like the word persistence better than I do permanent. But anyhow, bottom line is that I use that for every connection I do. And if they're ones that I'm going to disconnect anyhow, it doesn't matter either. So I always use permanent.
I understand that now. For whatever duration the connection is for, we want it to be, as you say, persistent, or we could call it the sticky button. Make it stick for that duration. I like it, so I will follow suit.
Yeah, you don't have to, but if you don't do it, you could be in the middle of something, you know, or you could be just connected up to something that's not got a lot of activity, and it could have dropped because there was just a network snafu or something like that. And that you'd be sitting there listening, go, boy, I've been awfully quiet, and then you go look, you say, oh, damn it, I haven't been connected, you know, so you might have missed what you're looking for. So, you know, I just always go persistent or permanent, and, you know, it doesn't make much difference. So, but, you know, like I said, it's understanding the Piccadillys and the where-alls and the whatnots of, you know, all-star and connections and all that. You know, once you get it, everything kind of, you go, aha, you know, and it all makes a lot of sense. Like, the multiple can always, you know, you got this one down in space, but you always disconnect before you reconnect. But, of course, that rule doesn't apply for the level of stuff you're doing because you're dealing with the network, right? So that's different. But if you have a personal node, the hard rule, always disconnect everything before you reconnect to something because you have the ability to patch things together, which is a real no-no. And I'm saying this just for general, like, you know, there may be other people listening right now that may glean something from the conversation. I know you know this quite well. WAFU, Mobile 2.
NAWRO Richmond in Michigan, not New York. Yeah, that's really good. Looking at the page right now, we got that D2 net coming up again where I'll be connecting to the GM. And it looks like Mike, NAVDZ, will be sharing net control duties. I think I put that on Discord. So that'll be interesting. He's going to go direct as they would prefer, because he's in Warren, so you can go to direct on GM, and then we'll configure the repeaters up here for points north like we were doing. So that's going to work out fine. All right, Sean, safe travel, safe driving. Good luck with the transaction, and we'll talk again soon. November 8th, Whiskey Romeo Oscar. I'll be listening out after you, sir. Have a good one.
Yeah, it should be no hassle. The car is not even here. It's only got 5,000 miles on it, so there should be no mysteries. Oh, looks like I'm flaking out a little bit here. And the area I'm in looks very rural, so all right, good timing. I'll be listening out here for a while. It's nice to kill the time, and thanks for the chat. Catch you later. W8FU.
Have a good one, Sean. NAWRO.
WAFU, KFA, DIC. One more time. WAFU. KFA, DIC, clear.
Currently connected to CMN Network.
WAFU, KFA, DIC. KFA. DIC, clear. KF8, FGS, monitoring from the mobile.
KF8, FGS, this is KF8, GBA, copy.
Bless America. How are you, my friend?
Hey, not too bad. Finding good signals. It's good to hear you. I haven't heard you in a while. Kind of been on and off anyway, you know.
Yeah, roger that. Yeah, no problem. Things are going well, I trust.
Oh, not going too bad. I need to ask you a quick question, though. If you could remember what my last radio sounds like, if you could tell me if this one sounds a lot better, you would make my day. Over.
Well, I'm reading you 5x9. Fully readable. Audio is good. There's a tiny amount of noise in the background. But I'm on the mobile also, so that could be what it is. But you sound great. It's 5x9 for sure.
KF8 GBA. Yeah, my friend, I just picked up a Radtel 950 Pro, and it's supposed to have 10 watts, and I tell you what, I got it for under $100, and it is blowing my mind, and you are the first person I talked to on it, so that's why I wanted to see what's going on. Now, I am using my rubber duck antenna right now. I don't have it hooked up to my Diamond 50A. So I just got the rubber duck on it. Copy?
Yeah, roger that on the rubber duck antenna. Well, you're getting into the repeater system really well. Like I said, 5x9, fully readable, good audio, and like with just a tiniest amount of background noise. So you're doing well.
I'm a blessed man.
Could you repeat that, please?
I just want to say that between the radio sounding good, getting my motorcycle fixed, I feel like a blessed man. Copy.
Well, there you go. Today would be a good day to ride, too. It's not terribly hot, but it's sunny, and today would be a good day to ride. It'd be a good day to fly, too, but I don't have either of those anymore.
KF8, EBA. Yeah, I copy that. You know, most first people get that stuff off, to be honest with you. You know, with the way things are going, but, you know, I still got to have something to do. I get bored pretty quick. That's why I even got me a newer radio. Copy.
Yeah, good deal. I got a Comet antenna for my base station, and I just got to find the time to put it up. It seems like every time I turn around or something else I got to do, that seems to take precedence. But yeah, it's always good to have stuff to do. Up to keep you interested. Did you join up with any of the local ham clubs?
Not quite yet. We're, like I say, been a little busy with my motorcycle and a couple other things. You know, and work, of course, you know, that's always comes first. Probably September. I'll do that probably coming up here in September. Hook up with the Saginaw club and get over there and get to a meeting. Copy.
KF8FGS. Yeah, a lot of the clubs don't hold in-person meetings during the summer months. I belong to the Hazel Park Amateur Radio Club, and they had a meeting in June and May, July, or in May rather than June, July, and August, they have in recess. We did other things, you know, field day, and they got a picnic going on this week. But all the clubs will be back to in-person meetings on in September. Have you joined up or signed in with any of the local nets?
Yeah, I usually talk on them unless I'm busy. Yeah, there's usually some on Sunday and Monday. There's one that comes out of Lansing on Monday, Wednesday, and Friday. And, I listen to the radio constantly all the time, usually. And anytime I hear it go off, if there's a net out, I'll hop on and talk. Getting pretty good at talking on the radio now, comfortable with it, you know, KF8, DB8.
Well, that's good to hear. That's good to hear. And having the some of these linked repeater networks helps too. That radio that you picked up, does it also, besides VHF and UHF, does it also do TMR?
It has VOX on it and ATRS. I'm not so sure about that.
Okay, that's fair. But DMR is a digital mode. So after you get comfortable and get yourself set up on the VHF and the UHF, talking on FM like we are now, you might be interested in getting into the digital realm. There is a statewide network of digital repeaters, much like the CMN network that we're talking on now. KF8 FGS, over.
Yeah, that's, I'm thinking maybe that's my next move up, you know, something like that there. I just found this Red Tail radio here, the 950 Pro, and, man, I tell you what, the reviews on it are like 4.9, and there's guys that sound like they have been on the radio a long time, and says that, you know, for a radio that's under $100 or around $100, that you just can't beat it. Well, I've been working with my AI on it, artificial intelligence on it, and I tell you what, we are finding so many features on this. It's crazy. And supposed to be 10 watts, and, you know, of course, it's not going to always give out 10 watts, but, you know, it seems like a really decent radio for the...
Yeah, well, you're sounding good, and it's all good to hear, especially when you're just using the miniature antenna. So we'll have to, when you do get it hooked up to your, I think you said there was a diamond antenna that you have, but that'll tell the true story. But I just have, right now I'm running a J-pole, a copper J-pole antenna that I built, and it's up on top of the house, two-story house, and, you know, it's up there 26 feet or whatever. But with 1 watt, I'm talking down into hitting the repeaters in Detroit, which is about, they're about, 15, 20 miles away. So with 1 watt. So the antenna is, it's all about the antenna. It's all about the antenna. Over.
Yeah, I copy that. When I started getting into this here, they always said height is might. And that's very true. That's very true. Even I noticed, even with a small TV antenna, if you could get it up higher, you don't really have to have a big radio. But if you could get reach, is what counts.
Yes, that's all true, because the signals are what they call line of sight. One antenna needs to be able to see the other, even if you're 30 miles away. So I talked down into Windsor and whatnot. I'm hitting repeaters from Utica here, hitting repeaters in Port Huron, but that's with maybe 20 watts. So it's all good.
Yeah, with this radio here, I'm going to use it right now, just for my base, until I decide to get another one. I'm only going to get a 25-watt radio to make it into a base anyway. I don't need all that. Like you said, I don't need all that power. I just want a little bit of power. I've always been middle of the road on everything, you know. You buy everything in the middle of the road, it seems to last, it seems to work, you know, have as much problem. I don't know if it's that way with anybody else, but that's the way it seems to work with me. Over.
Oh, roger that. Yeah, you don't need all the bells and whistles, but having some of them is nice.
Well, Well, my friend, in that case there, that's where I sit down and I prioritize how much is it going to really advance me or help me into, you know, into the cost of the price. And, you know, sometimes to get these things, you go through a little bit of work to get them, have to wait some time or whatever. You know, so I always evaluate the effort you have to go through the what you're going to get back out of the product. And the cost goes into that also, copy?
Oh, copy that. And also, if you spend a little bit less on the radio, you can spend more on the antenna. That's where you want all the bells and whistles, is in your antenna or antenna array that you might have. So it's all very good. Well, I tell you what, I'm destinated, so I'm going to have to sign off and say 73. And it was good hearing from you again. This is KF8FGS, and we'll be clear with KF8GBA on your final.
Connected to CMN Network.
Hey, that sounds good, KF8FGS. Nice talking to you. I haven't had time to really kind of talk much lately. Thanks for the radio check on that there also. And, hey, keep in touch. If you hear me out here, you know, I'm right here just waiting to talk to somebody. And we're going to say 72 to KF8FGS, and this is KF8GBA out in
here. KF8GBA, KF8DIC.
KF8DIC, KF8GBA, go ahead.
Well, how you doing today? My name is Jack, and I probably heard me a lot of time out there on the radio.
Yeah, I copy that. We've talked, I think, once or twice before. I'm Tom out of Birch Run, and... how's it going over there? It's nice to hear from you. I've heard you on there a couple times, too, but like I told KF8FPS, been a little busy lately trying to get some stuff done and working and, you know, trying to date a woman and working on my motorcycle, you know, finding a few minutes here and there. Copy?
I remember now. I talked to you before. Okay. That Rockville radio you got out there, and you said it's 10 watts. Maybe it's the same thing. Does it have two antennas or one?
I just have one antenna. Like I said, I'm just using about a 12-inch rubber duck antenna right now. I don't have it hooked up to my... I have a Diamond 50A antenna for my base. And I haven't hooked it up to that yet. I just want to see how the rubber duck was doing. Because I could hit the bird repeater really, really good. Copy?
Roger that. I copy that. I got one in here, and it's a good radio, and it's a good, excellent audio. Let me tell you something. I do have two of them. One is this... I tried to open it from a back, see what the model number... And I couldn't open it up, but I got to go somewhere else to get the number. And I got another small one, and that one I like about that one is it shows me the BL, shows me the name of the repeater, you know, like at Port Huron or something like that, or Detroit, whatever, and shows all the BLs. That's one thing I like about that one. Now, this one here, I got two antennas in it. I don't know, in the middle, if you have another antenna. And this one here, it does UHF, VHF, and everything else. But also, there's, I believe, 10-meter, or you can listen to a 10-meter, or radio, one of them. You're still there? KFA, GBA.
KF8GIC, come on, KF8GBA.
Did you get my message? The radio I have is a Rockdale 2, and it has two antennas, one on one and the other one.
Okay, I copy that now. No, mine only has one, and it comes with the short rubber duck and, you know, what is it, the 12 or 15-inch rubber duck antenna. That's the one I'm using now. I also have about a 2.5-foot antenna, and I also have a flexible 4-foot antenna, and I haven't tried none of those on it yet. Copy.
I was just telling you that it's good radios and good audio, and this one I have has two antennas, one beside another one. One like for, I believe it's 10 meter, and it gets local radio channels. I know that, you can program it. It might have the same radio. And I have another one that's smaller than this. That's why. Now, as far as the Saginaw people out there, every Monday night, I'm out there with them on the net, which Saginaw Club, they call it. Roger?
Yeah, I usually hop out there. I know the guy from Lansing, I think his name's Bob, has his at 9 o'clock. Saginaw has theirs at 9 o'clock, and I think there's another one out of Saginaw. They have theirs around that time, too. So there's like two or three net meetings that go on. I try to at least hop in and say hi to everybody. Copy?
Copy. Right there. Yeah, I'm every Monday night at 9 o'clock, that's who I am on. I go like on Echolink every Monday night. They do have Sunday night and Monday, but I don't go on Sunday. I go on Monday, and I'm always there. I know the people, one person over there, his name is Mike. He just got his extra license not too long ago. I know him very well from the GMRS. I used to talk to him on the GMRS.
Yeah, I got the MS walk in Frankenmuth there. I volunteered and went and met quite a few people over there and volunteered for the MS walk. It was a lot of fun, Copy.
Oh, yeah, I get up in the morning around 6:30 before I go on that GM repeater. I go sometime I can catch him on that 550 repeater on the GMRS, I'm saying. The 550 repeater in Maybell. I used to catch him over there, and he's always in Saginaw. So, I tell you, I like that club. I really do. I like the club really good.
Yeah, about September, I know the first Friday in September, I'll see if I can show up and go there and good meeting too, but just got a lot of things going right now. It's summertime and, you know, sometimes those things just kind of take a little precedence over things. Copy.
They have a breakfast in Midland. I don't know what time, 8 o'clock or something like that. Their breakfast is always Saturday in Midland. That's all I know.
Well, I'll tell you what, back when I get bored, ain't got nothing to do on a Saturday. It'd be time to go have some breakfast, copy?
Yeah, but I'm not from down there. I'm from Rochester. That's the problem. But that's why I have a couple of these guys I know there, that's why. And I always go on their net, because that's what they tell me. If you don't mind, you want to come up, you can come up anytime you want, all that. You know what I mean? I said, yeah, no problem. You know, I come up on your net every Monday, and then tonight I'm going to have going on that net.
Thank you. Yeah, I copy that. Yeah, I just lived here in first run, so, you know, Billard's not too far. Sometimes it's a nice drive out that way. Get out of town for a minute. And Billard's a good place to go visit, so if you're up that way, you know, go on up there. Billard's a pretty good little town to go to. Copy.
Roger, I have another couple of guys out there in Bertrand. One of them, WGKLL, his name is Greg, is always on radio, but I don't know if you ever heard him on that way or not. And I know another one is, I don't have his call sign on the front of me, that's why. But that guy, he's always travel to the Upper Peninsula, because he's got a job there to do, and he comes down. But I always talk to him on the GMRS, but now I talk to him on the ham site.
KFA-TVA. Yeah, copy that one there. Yeah, I'm starting to get out, starting to meet a few folks around and stuff like that there, and yeah, it's a fun hobby. You know, it's not too bad. It's a fun hobby. But the getting out, meeting different people, hearing different things, at least people who want to, you know, just talk on the radio and be friendly. Copy.
Yeah, you know, be friendly, and you, if you like, you know, whatever you like to buy, they'll tell you. I mean, they will explain to you out there, and believe me, I know that I was out there on a swap shop last year in the Flint, and I was there all day, and I went to with a friend. I was telling you about WDAKLL. He's there in Bush Run. So it's nice people there. It's very nice people.
Yeah, like I say, I'm meeting people as I go out here, and that's going to be pretty fun, you know. It does pretty fun. Way to do it. Just get on the radio and start talking, get to meet people, and get comfortable, and, you know, pretty soon, before you know it, I'll be doing Bill Day and all that stuff, too. Copy?
Roger, you'll like Bill Day. I took my Yaesu 710. It's a little bit big radio. It costs good money. I mean, a lot of money. Not a whole lot, no, but it costs a lot of money, about $1,000. I took it out there and made a photo, and I contacted about 300 people out there in the morning. I went to Seven Lake. Is that Seven Lake by you there?
Yeah. Yeah, I know where you're talking. Yeah, I definitely know where you're talking. No, that's pretty good. You know, get to get out, get to use your equipment, you know. A lot of the stuff you got enough money into, you got to get out and use it at least, you know. Don't want it just sitting there. And, hey, you never know. System ever goes down, I'm not going to be sitting around wondering what's going on. I'm going to at least have an idea. Copy?
I copy you. All right. Well, good talking to you. But if you need anything, let me know. Or let the guys out there that will help you out, especially in Saginaw, go on their net. I'm going to be out there tonight, and I'm going to be the last probably person talking to them on the Echo Link. I don't know, you know what Echo Link mean or not. I don't know.
All right. Well, I copy that there, and, well, I'll say 73. This is KF8-DBA. That's KF8-DIC. Out to final on your last transmission.
All right, good talking to you. We'll talk again. KF8-GPA from KF8-DIC. W8FU, KF8-DIC. KF8, yeah, I see, clear.
You're connected to CMN Network.
Thank you. This is W8RCY. Reconnecting.
Connected to CMN Network. You're connected to CMN Network.
W8DPD.
KC8KJO.
Good afternoon, Tom. How are you today?
Slow day at work. Started at 8:40 and got done at like 3. Now. But, yeah, heading home now.
Well, good for you. Everybody needs an easy day. Every now and again. Especially after me having those not-so-cuckoo days with all the construction and gas main repairs and everything else like that. I understand what a good day off is. Anyway, I just thought I'd say hello. I'm on my way to the golf course to get frustrated and chase little white balls all over the place.
Oh, hard day. Golfing. I'm sort of trying to get some golf balls for my sales manager. You know, if I can pass them out.
Well, I work my 7 hours. I deserve the time to golf. You know, unwind from work.
Oh, I don't blame you. I'm not saying that. 7 hours at the, you know, for your please view list there at the church, you know, that makes up for a good day.
You know, on Friday, I repaired the circuit to the sign out front, but it didn't come on. I knew it was dead because I touched the wires barehanded. But, I went in on Saturday, looked at the breaker box, and I didn't see any breakers that were tripped. So my brother-in-law went back from his trip. He went in there, didn't see any that were tripped, so we ended up pulling the front of the panel off. And sure enough, there was a trip breaker, but the switch didn't trip. So we reset that. Everything was good once again.
Did you get the lift taken care of and find out what was causing the hydraulic issue?
Yep. Gunk in the poppet valve. Got that all cleaned out. Got the system all cleaned out, except for what was in the cylinder, and changed the fluid so it's got fresh fluid. It works like a breeze now.
Yeah, gunk buildup that was keeping it from moving.
Huh.
Probably the filter was dirty, and some of the dirt got past it.
Well, actually, on the poppet valve, there's some fiber washers on either side of the O-ring. And it was a sliver of the fiber washer that got pinched off that got back into the poppet valve and kept it from closing when energizing the solenoid. Once I got that cleared, it started working just like it was supposed to. So I figured, well, I don't know what else is in the bottom of this tank. And there was little black gunky things stuck to the sump stream, so I flushed her all out, washed her all out, and filled her up with fresh, clean, new oil.
So a little bit of dirt, you get the machine clean, and everybody's happy. Well, that's a good thing.
Yep. It took me 2 days to flush out the system because I was running around Monday, Tuesday with Consumers Energy and Construction Company hitting the water pipe for the cemetery, watering spigots, and, yeah, all kinds of fun stuff.
Oh, yeah, I love those days when sitting on something simple and it turns out to be, you know, 4 hours instead of a half hour, and I've had those days.
You know, on Thursday, I thought I had got the compact tractor working properly. I bought a solenoid for the fuel shutoff, got it installed, aligned finally, and I'm letting it run as I was cleaning up to do some voltage checks, and it stopped. Well, you know, diesels, they don't just quit running unless they lose fluid, fuel. So I go over there, and the solenoid's smoking, so it's getting too much voltage. I said, oh, screw it. I hunted around, found a choke cable, and made a manual pull for the thing so I could turn it on and off by pushing the choke lever.
Ah, you found a worm in the ground, and you pulled it out and strung enough to hold the flashlight. I got you.
Yeah, I had to have it done Thursday before I went home because Friday morning we had a burial, so I got that fixed just in time. So my next adventure, I have to order the parts for, and they're part of the steering system on the John Deere backhoe loader, the 310G, and it's the inner ball joint or the inner steering rod connection to the hydraulic cylinder. I got one of them that's popping real bad. Been dry for far too long. So, I get to do that. And you know what question everybody asks me?
How'd you fix it being a Marine and all you do is eat crayons?
No. Do you have a jack big enough to lift the front end of the backhoe?
Isn't that what you just fixed now?
No, you just use the front bucket to lift the front end off the ground. You don't even need a jack.
So you don't need jack, you just need Brian to lift the bucket up.
Yeah, well, that and I have to buy a 2-inch wrench because that's the size of the one part of it that I got to unscrew.
Harbor Freight should have some type of ridiculous wrench for that.
They actually got a 5-piece that's only $69.99. Plus tax, title, and destination charges.
Well, there you go. That'll work.
Yeah, I did all the research today. I just have to order the parts when the parts get here to it. And in the same stroke, I gotta count the number of turns, turn it back in the same number of turns, so I don't mess up the front end alignment. Not too bad, anyway.
That's what a paint pen is for. KKKPO.
Still gotta count the number of complete turns. W8BPD.
Yeah, I agree with you there.
Yeah, well, then I got to look up the prices on wheel motors and pumps. Because this particular lawnmower has a pump for the left wheel and a pump for the right wheel. And I got to get prices on that, see if it's worth redoing or repairing that lawnmower.
What, a pump for the steering, or what's the pump for?
It's a zero-turn lawnmower, and in this particular case, instead of having one pump providing the hydraulic for both wheels, this one has a hydraulic pump for each wheel, and you turn by starting, stopping, or spinning the tires in opposite directions.
Oh, yeah, because it's got those valves underneath the control arms.
Yeah, that's pretty much it. And that is a 74-inch. It's 2 inches wider than my big one right now, which is a 72-inch. Well, 2 inches, what 2 inches is going to matter, I don't know. I asked my wife, she doesn't understand either.
It's a catch that dandelion that's leaning to one side as you do a pass over it.
All right, Tom, thank you. I never thought of that.
You know, when you cut the grass, you can cut it 1,000 times, and often when you're done, you have the one blade of grass that pops right up and says, aha, you missed me.
Yeah, it's usually the dandelions because you go over them so fast with these zero turns. They stay down long enough that you don't hit them with the blades.
Right, so that extra 2 inches, you know, the blade reaches out and plucks that little sucker right out of the ground.
So were you at the breakfast Sunday morning?
Yes, I was, but you were not.
I agreed to a tea time before I remembered about the breakfast, so I went golfing. Sue me.
Yeah, it was a little bit smaller crowd on Sunday. I mean, with Tim, myself, Wally, and his wife, Mike, and his wife. Me and my wife. Phil came by, but his wife wasn't feeling good, so she didn't attend. You know, so all the guys sat at one end and all the girls sat at the other end.
Yeah, well, the next one should be colder. I don't know if I'll still be golfing come October. So I'll probably be at that one.
Yeah, I'll probably be at that one also. You know, I think my daughter and her boyfriend probably attend to it as well. All depends on if he goes late to church or not. She picked Melissa and I up yesterday morning about 7 o'clock. We went to the Armada Flea Market, buzzed around there a little bit to get some bagels and a couple other snacks, and then went right to breakfast down the street.
What's up, my crackers?
No crackers, bagels.
Trying to text back to Donald, but he had coming in the middle of the conversation, was trying to figure out our 2-inch dandelion conversation.
Was that Donald that chirped up, or was that Sean?
It was I.
W-A-R-C-Y texted me. Huh? And it's too long for me to text back as I'm driving.
Oh, okay. Good afternoon, Sean. You just getting working late today or something?
No, I'm road tripping. I am, I don't know what road I'm on. I'm in upstate New York, about 57 minutes out of Albany, New York.
You know you get a car in Michigan just the same, right? TCK joke.
Not if you want what you want. Yes. You want a car, sure. But I wanted something very specific. I had to go to Albany to get it.
He wanted the needle in the haystack. Now he's got to drive to the bottom of the haystack to get the needle.
Is this a collector automobile or just something specific to your personal needs that you've been looking for forever?
It's nothing special. It's just, it's a newer, significantly lower mileage. It's not brand new because they don't make them anymore. I searched high and low for a new one on the lot that had all my specs. The car that I own now is a 22. I love it. Perfect for us. But I had to settle because there were no cars in 2022. You had to take whatever you could get. And I had a car coming off lease, and I had to do something. So I love the car, but I did have to settle. This one here ain't settling for nothing. I'm getting everything I want. Perfect car. Granted, it's got 5,000 miles on it, so it's not brand new, but you can't get one. They stopped making them, and this is the last year. And what's on the lot's on the lot, and all the high-end ones are long.
Oh, gotcha. Awesome. Well, that's what Rachel did. She got a 2019 Ford Fusion Hybrid loaded with under 20,000 miles on it, and she got it for 12.
Well, that sounds very good. So did she have to travel for it? I tried everything. I went to every source I had, and I couldn't find an alternative vehicle either. Much to many people's chagrin, I was couldn't find nothing. So here we are. Anyhow, that's it. Who else was in there? I'm on my repeater phone app, so I can. I can't exactly tell who the other party is by voice. This is W8FU, Portable 2.
Well, this is W8BPD. I'm pulling up at my destination, so I'll be clear on your guys' final. Over to Tom.
All right, Brian. Enjoy your day of golf. I'll play 73 and then throw it over to Sean for his 73 and then kick it back to me. KKKGO.
Yeah, okay, Brian, now that you say it, I'm like, oh, okay, sounds just like you. But I my excuse is it's repeater phone going through a Nissan Kicks sound system, so I couldn't quite put my finger on it. Anywho, back over to Tom.
Well, Rachel got hers through the dealer that she's been purchasing her vehicle from for a couple years. And she sold her F-150 outright and then paid off the slip on that, had money left over, put a down payment on this Fusion that her dealer buys from auction. And all this was an old AT&T Fusion
that they ran it out of gas and they killed the battery, which had put it into a safe mode. And so they sold it at auction for salvage. He got it and fixed the problem and then sold it to her. So she doesn't like the color white, but she's not complaining about the price and that it's under 20,000 miles.
No, that sounds like a fantastic deal. Mine was not a deal. It wasn't high and it wasn't low. It was what it was supposed to be priced. So I didn't get a particularly good deal. It's fair, but the thing was that I was very particular about what I wanted. I found something close, but it was white, which my wife's a hard no on white. I don't care for white. And I should, because I live on a dirt road, and white is much better on a dirt road than black. But, hey, can't tell me nothing. But I did find a white one that was not terribly far from what I wanted, but I would have been bothered by it, just like the one I have now. You know, close, but no cigar. And it bugged me. It's been bugging me for the last 4 years. So I'm going to finally correct all that. What are you going to do? But not a deal like that. That's a hell of a deal. And it sounds like the salvage is what got you that smoking hot deal. I saw some really, really hot deals over the years that were salvage titles. It depends on what. If you're looking at, as long as it ain't water damage, you know, and most of them, if you run the VIN through Google, you'll see pictures of what the damage was. And you'll say, oh, yeah, I can see where. You know, it's not hard to total out a car, particularly out east. The rules are different. Anyhow, I'm probably exceeding my limit here.
Yeah, it was more or less that their fleet mechanics couldn't figure out the problem with the vehicle, and they said, meh, and then they put it up for sale and went through auction, and she got it. You know, so she got a salvage price for it. And but it's got a car note, she's fully insured, and it is a very nice hybrid. I don't like all electric, but I will definitely jump at a hybrid.
Yeah, I would have considered a hybrid as well if it had popped up, but it didn't. And so I just got the EcoBoost, the bigger one with the towing package. So, that's kind of nice. I'll tell you, I really love driving. I really do. I came through Canada. I was a little alert, nervous about that, but that was uneventful. And then through Buffalo and upstate New York. And as you start to close in here on Albany, you're cutting through the, I don't know, is this the Adirondacks? I think this would be the Adirondacks. But just the foothills are not very, they're not massive or anything. But still, it's nice to see the geological formations and the valleys and the peaks and where they cut through. I might even take the low route home, the no-toll low route home. It's an extra hour, but it does get you through a lot of pretty part of the Adirondacks.
About as far south as I went with the fam, at least, was Hershey, Pennsylvania, and going through Tennessee and all through the foothills and stuff. Absolutely gorgeous. I love going, you know, that was a nice drive. Canada, I used to do it all the time, you know, because my family's all Canadian. So, but we did the bridge and we went into Buffalo for a little bit, and then we came back across because we went into Canada, and I feel like driving all the way around the lake, you know, to come back home kind of thing. So, but yeah, that sounds like upstate New York, being over in, I was in Orangeburg, New York a couple years ago, and that's really pretty up there, really nice area. KCK Joe for ID.
Well, Well, I don't know where I am officially. I'm kind of in the middle of nowhere about, like I said, about 45 minutes now out of Albany. Purdy, but it's kind of rustic. I've got one bar. I've got two services. I've got T-Mobile, and AT&T FirstNet. And FirstNet has got two bars right now. T-Mobile's got one. But definitely not kind of a rural area. But at least I'm not 4G. I've popped 4G a couple of times.
Well, if it matters, you sound pretty clear to me. I understand who it was when he called in. I'm like, that sounds like Sean.
Yeah, I was talking to Tim a few hours ago on this, and I was in a spotty area, and he said that I was getting a couple of times. I got a little choice, but I picked the phone up out of the little cubby where the inductive charging pad is and held it up, and saved the day. So now I've got two bars of 5G on both services, so looks like I'm getting closer to a cell. Oh, just dropped down again. Anyhow, should be okay. So I don't have enough time to do the deal today. I got a motel near Albany Airport. I'll pull up there, go get a bite to eat, and I'll just go watch some cat videos and kick back in the motel, and then first thing in the morning when they open, I'll be there. I'll Uber over and be there to get the car. So, first time Ubering for me. Well, actually, I got an Uber this morning to get me to the rental car, and then I'm doing a Lyft to get from the motel to the dealer tomorrow. And that one's going to cost me like $44, so not cheap.
So are you traveling in a rental right now in there, or you're Ubering all the way?
Oh, God, no, I'm Ubering all the way. Just for giggles, I checked it to see what the rate would be, like $1,000 for an Uber to Albany from our area. So I just checked it just for fun. But, no, this is a rental. I got and I'll never do Hertz again. You know, I asked a large sedan, reserved it 2 days in advance. They said, no problem. I get there. I've got a Nissan Kicks. It's like the smallest SUV they sell. It's been bouncing my butt around for the last 6 hours. I mean, it's okay, but I asked for a large sedan. And, you think they would have said something. I get there, and then the agent said, oh, no, we don't, that's the only car we'll allow one way. I'm like, well, then why didn't you tell me that when I made my reservation? And then the other thing, too, is they could decide, their website says you absolutely have to have some additional insurance paperwork if you're going into Canada. They call it a yellow card. But then they told me at the so I asked about it. They said, no, you don't need anything. And they go, yeah, it's a yellow card. They go, yeah, no, we don't need that. I go, well, your website says absolutely I do, so, the main Hertz website. And we went back and forth, and I took their word for it. But I got on the phone, and the first person I got to said, oh, yeah, it's probably a misunderstanding because their cars locally are cleared for Canada, but in general, it looks like I'm going in the LTE zone here. I better pipe up.
Yeah, you're getting kind of broken up there. I'll be here. I still got another 45 minutes till I get to the house, so I'll chat with you when you get back into a better area. KCKGO.
Why don't you drive a little faster?
Well, I don't know if you're going to. Well, I don't know if you're going to hear any of this because I got one bar of LTE on both services, but it is beautiful wherever I'm at.
One bar on both services, and it's beautiful where you're at. Okay, I got that. I think something else was in there. It said drive faster. Go ahead, KCAKGO.
Victor Delta.
WAVD. There you is. Good afternoon. Shauna is somewhere up in a pretty area in upstate New York. Go ahead, Sean. You're still there.
Yeah, I talked to Wally earlier when I was, I think I was already in New York. Yeah, because I didn't talk to nobody until I got out of Canada, so I had to be in New York. But probably more like Buffalo when I talked to Wally. But wherever I'm at, it's absolutely gorgeous. It's got these mountains, beautiful, some sort of lake, river, and one bar LTE on both services, so it must have been pretty rustic. Hello, Wally.
Hello again. I am heading home. I'm only going to be here for 2 or 3 minutes. Everybody at my office is working, or golfing, working. Yeah, I guess it's working golf, and I didn't want to go, so I get to watch the little baby girl tonight, and mommy's got to get to work by 6, and she's going to have her there with the house by 5, so that's going to be the extent of my day. So if I'm radio silent, it's because I've either jumped off the new Gordie Howe Bridge, or the kid has got me tied up somewhere. You know, other than that, all is good. Yeah, I've been to upstate New York a lot. I went up there for, actually, New York is like, upstate New York is like where we get a lot of our product from. Mohawk Lifts is up there. ALI is up there. So I've been up there a lot over the years, so I'm very familiar with that.
Like I said, the only place I've been in New York is Orangeburg. And it's right on the it's right on the edge of New York and New Jersey. I just cross over line, same city kind of thing. And then down there, of course, in Manhattan and the Memorial. That was it for that time that I was there. But I went crazy on Nathan's hot dogs and their conies. Those are good.
Well, I'm going to have to decide what I'm going to do for dinner. I saw a fish place that looked pretty good. They got a whole bunch of locations all over the greater Albany area. I was thinking about going there, but you make a good point. Get a coney while I'm out here. Not in New York, but should be close enough to get an interesting take on the coney. Wally?
Hey everyone, I have to step out. I am in the driveway, and the monster child is behind me. So, wish me luck. You guys have a good day. And, Sean, you drive safe. And, if I do get a break, I'll throw my call back out on here.
Oh, bless you, Wally. Have fun and be safe. I'll let Sean do a 73. KKKGO.
Okay, Walter, we'll catch you later. And we'll be on the road for about another 35 minutes here. Then I'll be on and off. Somebody else doubled with you, Tom. I couldn't tell who it was. You won.
Oh, who else is out there? Donald? It's Brian. No, Brian's not out there because he's on the golf cart. Who else is out there? Go ahead and throw it over to Sean.
W8RCY, we're just monitoring, and yeah, I was texting Brian, but I wasn't a part of the conversation. I was texting Brian on a different subject matter. Sounds like Sean made it to New York safely. We'll talk to you all later, W8RCY.
Okay, hi, bye. Yes, I made it, and then some. So, about half an hour out. It's all good.
Connected to CMN Network.
One one last addendum, Sean, that repeater radio phone thing sounds amazingly well. I heard you talking earlier to Tim, and I was quite impressed. Again, safe travels back, WARCY.
Yeah, it's a nice, tool to have in your, if you're traveling, you want to travel light, you're going on a, you just don't want to drag the radio. But I did drag my my clear node and a radio. Maybe when I get in the motel room, I'll set that up. But, when I'm traveling, it's just as easy to connect the phone up to the sound system and just run the computer phone and easy peasy. Of course, I can't be using the phone for streaming music when I'm doing this, so there's that. Tom?
And that's why I have the little SL7550, but that's only DMR. I should get another open spot that way. Well, I got my radio, but still, if I'm traveling like that, yeah, I'll use that repeater phone. But I have it on my personal phone, so I can still listen to music. And I'll be right back. I'm going to look at this call, and I'm going to see what she wants. I'll be back in a minute. KCKJO. You guys just need talk radios, and you don't have to carry anything with you but the talk radio.
Yes, but when you have the phone app, you don't even have to carry that. But yes, you're right. And I'll tell you what, that or a clear note, and they're both from the same guy. Because of that software he writes with the DVD switch all worked in, one cheap analog radio that you don't care if it gets stolen or goes for a swim or something like that, they're cheap as Bofang and a clear note. Okay. Anyhow, the nice thing about the ClearNode, ClearNode's a little pricey, but you can take your cheapest piece of crap radio and you can still do the digital modes if you want.
Well, what do you think of the QSO1 app? If you have an Android phone, QSO1 app.
Oh, is this something new? I've never heard of that.
Yeah, go look at it. It's it replaces DV switch, does the digital modes, it does All Star. He's basically trying to, that ClearNode guy's probably going to get nervous, to be honest with you, because once this guy gets it in the Play Store, it's like, why would I get one? Why would I get a ClearNode? I could just use this app.
There's something about having a radio in the chain that, to me, is appealing. What I'm doing now is completely, there's nothing in the chain at all. So this is just a utilitarian type thing. It allows me to, do this when I otherwise might not. But for normal running around, I just assume not do this. Now, I just assume not do anything. I hardly ever run my nose in town. But sometimes you got to.
Yeah, he's got support for that, that microphone, that Enrico microphone, that BT-01. So you can kind of fake having a radio. You have, like, this little mic in your hand. But, I know. We still want to play radio, though. It's more fun.
Yeah, if, I don't know if this after guy's writing. Can it run on something like a, like a node you build yourself? And I don't know what it is. Or is it strictly to run on Android phone or something?
Well, when you get bored tonight in the hotel or you want to look stuff up, QSO and then the number one, and that's the product. There's a Windows application and there's an Android application. I think he's gonna make iOS at some point, but right now he's just focusing on Windows and Android.
Okay. Of course he is, because I've just converted to iPhone.
Well, it's more about how Apple does their apps and stuff like that. But anyways, my wife got home, so I got to let you go. But, yeah, I'll look it up later, and I'll you can compare notes.
Yeah, I'll do that. QSO1. It's easy to remember. How am I going to remember that? QSO. We had, you and I had a conversation of QSO. QSO1. Okay. Hopefully I'll remember.
I've got it written down. QSO1. W8RCY.
I'll probably go to the liquor store and get a bottle of Kettle One. To the motel room. Say, I thought somebody told me to get a bottle of Kettle One. Oh, got the Popo just out ahead of me. Got to pay attention. Not do anything distracted or speeding.
Well, you know, I've always joked about, okay, you know, I hear something like, you know, W8FU, and I'll say, okay, I'll warn the authorities that you're on the road. Well, it wasn't me this time, because I don't know what road you were taking, so not guilty this time of letting them know you were there. All right, I'm done. Have a good evening.
Oh, I will. W8FU. Portable 2? Mobile 2? Which is it? You know that. I forget. KBB. W8FU.
How you doing, Sean? W8EAP Air over there. Driving around with my, where I grew up. Upstate New York by the Adirondacks.
Oh, yeah, where specifically? And I thought you lived there, Sterling Heights, most of your... You say grow up. Through what age?
That's a trick question. You know I never grew up. Yeah, I moved here when I was 9 years old. North Syracuse area.
Oh, yeah, I remember it well. It was just through there a little bit ago. I don't remember how much. Rochester, Buffalo, Syracuse. I saw all of those.
Actually, I was, I don't know, it was weird because I was like my, our mailing address was Clay, New York, and I think the house is considered Cicero, New York, but it's very north end of North Syracuse. I don't know, I was 9 years old, so I don't remember exactly, but I remember just crossing over the bridge. When you get out of my neighborhood and go north, you just cross over a bridge, and that was Cicero. So. It's where Richard Gere and Tom Cruise grew up.
Well, there you go. What is this? Nothing. A big nothing. It's like, oh, they're setting up for a construction zone. Okay. No, tearing down. A bunch of lights, road work ahead. I can't tell if they're setting it up or tearing it down. They're really, you know what, with the speeding in a construction zone around here. Rightfully so.
Actually, Richard Gere, his family was in road construction. Another bit of useless trivia, my sister was in junior high school. There was a play, and Richard Gere was in the play. Came in from another school or something, but there you go. And also Rod Serling from Twilight Zone, from that area. More importantly, me. Infamous me.
Hey, maybe you could go up to Vermont when you're done and get some maple syrup.
They're probably going to erect a statue in your honor.
Well, you know, whenever they have an interview with Richard Gere, Tom Cruise, they go, yeah, that's where Eric P. grew up. So, they're proud. Yeah, a statue of me. Did you say an erect statue of me or erect a statue of me? It's two totally different things.
Uh-huh.
How about erect statue of you holding a New York slice of pizza?
I had to move. That's the main reason I moved. I don't like that thin pizza. That's why I moved to this area, for some nice, thick, Motor City-style pizza. Buddies, Louie's, you know, Shields.
Real.
Well, you got that Joe's Pizza in Greenwich Village, and, oh, that was awesome. I love that pizza. I ate two big, two slices, so that was basically half a pie.
Well, I've been known to drive pretty far for some good pie, but I don't think I'd drive all the way back to that area just for pizza, but I might.
I've driven a long way for a lot of things, including cars, 500 miles away, but anyhow, yeah, as far as the statues go, there's a statue of Sean McCarthy in Ireland.
Yeah, but which one of the 10,000 of you?
Oh, let's not split hairs.
Cujo had a movie made about him.
Ooh, now I get to say it. A near schenectady.
Well, in Ireland, I am known as the Lord of Horses.
I think what they meant to say was load, not Lord. And there was a word after horse.
Okay,
well, he was an announcer at the Armada Fair.
I'm not a that view, by far. But I can usually dig myself out of it just fine. But yeah, my last name, Ahern, is actually O'Hearn. And if you actually go back to the Gaelic spelling, it's like 13 characters long, and it stands for Lord of Horses.
There was a little bit of a double there. Yeah, well, mine is Mac. Is that son of? O is descendant, Mac is son. So I'm son of Carthage. It's actually Carthage, Carpac. Anyhow, he was a chieftain. But only one person can actually be the son of a chieftain, right? So how come the rest of us are all son of a chieftain?
I was waiting for Eric there.
I was just going to make a quick comment. Isn't that where cartology maps comes from?
No, the name doesn't even sound like that. And then, like Tom pointed out, the Gaelic spelling is crazy. I don't know how they get anglicized like they do, but they do. Oh, raindrops. Hey, my son told me, he asked me this morning, he goes, did you feel the earthquake? We didn't have an earthquake this morning, did we?
Maybe that's why I swayed over the road earlier today. I didn't know anything about it.
next day, all of a sudden, I've got a cloud burst. At the Cooperstown, all of the exits on whatever I'm on. Exit first, then next to me. But anyhow, 100 days exit is supposed to be slow.
Yeah, pay attention. I'll hear you back in a bit. KCKGO. Go ahead, Eric.
Okay, WADAP. Well, according to Google, the last minor, well, the last earthquake period in Michigan was May 4th, 2026. It was only a 2.7, which is tremor. Now, the house did shake last night, Sean. It had tremendous thunderstorms last night, and definitely the house was vibrating. It felt like a small tremor. So maybe that's what he was talking about. But as for actual earthquakes, May 4th was the last one.
Yeah, I didn't see anything reported either, but I was heading out the door. That's what I thought. Cause, yeah, there were some window rattling boomers last night. And rain let up a little bit. Well, he's not great,
but it's not as bad as it was when
I checked out. Says I got less than 10 miles to go. Woohoo!
It was raining for a bit this morning when I left the house at 7:15. But when I woke up at 6, I mean, it was booming and banging, but it wasn't too bad. I was on the northern tip of it, so... You guys got a little bit more slammed to the south than I did.
Yeah, it was mostly over by the time my Uber showed up to take me to the car rental place. That was 7:45. It was drizzling a little bit, but it wasn't terrible. And most of the thunderstorms had moved on through by then, about 6:30 or so they were gone. And then it cleared up, and it was dry until I got about halfway through New York, and then it's been squalling on and off here. Nothing too bad. That last little bit there I went was probably the hardest of it all. It's, now it's just a light rain.
Just enough to wash the dirt off. And a 2.7 earthquake. New Madrid fault is like an aftershock of an L.A. fault earthquake.
Al, 2.7 is like a bad day at Taco Bell.
There's one in probably 83 or 84. Sometime around 84, there was a pretty decent one, and then in about 1996 or 97, it was like, it was in the late 90s. So those are the two I remember in Michigan that I felt.
Yeah, I specifically remember the one in 80, whatever it was, although it had to be 85 or beyond, because I was working for Allen Electronics at the time. And I remember I was sitting in the house, and I remember just everything started rattling and shaking like a huge semi was going down the street, and or something. That's what it felt like to me. And I remember when I went into work, Mike says to me, he says, "Did you feel it?" And I says, "Is that what that was?" And I thought it was a huge truck going through. And then what is going on here? Okay, I am in greater stench. Albany, apparently at rush hour, so I might make this my best. Anyhow, but they were saying big, huge cabinets we had were like shaking back and forth and stuff. I think I better make this my last. Pretty congested here, and I've got 4 miles to my exit. W8FU.
You're connected.
I'll be back. Talking to the white kid again. KCKGO.
W8EAP. Yeah, it might have been 85. I know it was sometime after I was working at the TV shop. I was actually home that day, and I remember that my closet doors were, like, shaking. I'm like, what the heck's going on? And then in the late 90s, it was kind of the same thing. I was at work, and there was this, we had this big wall of PLCs and other electrical equipment bolted to this big wall, and it started, like, moving, like, 2 or 3 inches. I go, there's an earthquake, and everyone's like, yeah, sure there was. And then it broke in over all the radio stations. Like, I was listening to, like, Riff, and some other guy was listening to some country station. Right about the same time, all the DJs broke in and said we just had a pretty decent one. I think the epicenter was maybe on the Ohio border, or Pennsylvania maybe. It wasn't in Michigan per se, but I think it was, like, nearby, within a couple hundred miles.
Yeah, they're almost always that New Madrid fault down there in Missouri and that. But I remember the one in 90-something, but I don't remember experiencing it at all. I remember the one in 85 or whatever, that one pretty well. I remember the one in the 90s. I just don't remember experiencing it. So I do remember it. You know the old Warren Fire Department building, the old one on Old Chicago Road? It cracked the, after they got that new stone engraved banner up above the garage door, that actually cracked the walls. And they had to get it repaired, so they went ahead and did that commemorative.
Yeah, I seem to think the one in 85 was a little stronger. My bed was shaking. I was laying there taking a nap, and all of a sudden I hear the closet's banging, and then my bed starts, like, almost walking across the floor almost. I'm like, what the? It woke me up.
WRO, you're got to finally leave work there, John.
Connected to CNN.
Yes, sir. I'm finally on my way home. Maybe a little scratchy, but I should get a lot better on the next couple transmissions here.
A little bit, but perfectly readable, and I'm in the backyard on the DM32, but then again, I'm not that far away from the tower, so mine should be okay, I guess.
Yeah, you sound good. I accidentally unkeyed there, but yeah, you sound great. I think I fixed the phone background image. Apparently you have to change the name of the file, otherwise the phone's caching it, so I had to make it version 2 to keep the phones from caching it. But I'll check it when I get home. I'm on my way now, so enjoy the yard. You don't need to go in and give that a go.
Oh, no worries. I'm on the back fence line here looking into the field. There's one of those groundhogs way out there, and he does not seem to be scared of me, so I don't like that. But Actually, just before I came out, I rebooted the 525, and that came back up to the same seal, but that's different, right?
Yeah, that's correct. I did not change that one yet. I probably will, but for right now, no one's really nudged me to change that one, but I probably should. But yeah, we'll see. I'll probably change it. What's tricky is it's, you know, I actually had to make the images. Like for the 8861, I had to pull it into Power. I do it in PowerPoint because I don't have an easier way, but I have to set the image size, and then I have to set the transparency of the background, because if that background image is too dark, then it kind of conflicts with the naming and the, you know, letters of the other names and the phone numbers of all the contacts on the phone. So for the 8861, I found making it sort of translucent helps. And then the other one, you just shift it to the left, and I think it works pretty good that way.
N-A-W-R-O. Yeah, that makes sense. I kind of remember when you first put that background in, the original one, and you do have to have room for the labels there and not having the colors conflict. That was funny, the defective one that I had, the little scratch inside the screen there only appeared when it was with that background to it, because with the original bridge background that they all have, the color was the same. It was hidden. You couldn't see it. So I was talking to the guy over there at the store in Troy. Maybe you got to put some kind of a background on your phone that's just to test the screens so that they don't have. Although it didn't really bother me. So.
Gotcha. I recognize that tone. That's the 2-minute timer tone, I think. I hear it with K-A-A-U-H-G. Heard it a couple times now. But I've never heard it on mine, probably because I don't use it enough, but interesting. What was I going to say? I don't know. shoot, I almost had something, but I'll send it back to you, and maybe it'll come back to me.
Yeah, well, it kind of reminds me. It's probably the longest transmission I did on this. I'm sitting out in the backyard now. I probably have mine set shorter. I mean, the repeaters are 3 minutes, right? So what do you have your timeout timers on your radio set to?
I set mine to 2 minutes, which is probably why I always get cut off by my timeout timers. But that's partly because I didn't realize the repeaters were set to 3 minutes, or else I might let it go a little longer. But 2 minutes has usually been pretty decent for me. But now on the Hoyt phone, that one doesn't have one. So when I'm doing a net, I just carry on. And, you know, roll the dice that I don't time out the repeater. So far I think I've been kind of lucky. Maybe I've dropped out a time or two, but I just never knew. And it just kind of worked out. But well, I guess I should probably keep an eye on that. But Sean's repeaters seem like they're set pretty, you know, pretty well, where you don't have to worry about it, because some of the transmissions and QSOs I hear on there seems like it doesn't even have a timeout timer. but yeah, I don't know. But yeah, so
Well, good. I'm glad I finally got, you know, that hopefully should be all taken care of now, and finally on my way home. Hopefully I'll actually eat dinner now. That little tiny bag of chips did not do me good.
Yeah, you got to have something more than chips there. That's not going to be enough. You got to get home and, hey, maybe today's the day you go out for steaks and bring them home to the family. Man, I got to do that one of these days. I've never done that. Carry out steaks.
Yeah, maybe, I don't know. Maybe next time we have like a command meeting or something, you could do that because you'll be out this way anyway. Just grab it on your way home. I highly suggest Longhorn Steakhouse because they've got some really good steaks. I think they're better than Outback. I used to eat Logan's back in the day, but I haven't had them in a while. But I like Longhorn. They're right there on Hall Road. But yeah, it's good. I think we've got today's dinner figured out. I think we're doing burgers, but that is a good idea. I'll have to do that soon. I keep spending all my money though. I can't do steaks. I found a good deal a better deal, $50 cheaper than I was gonna buy for all those routers. So I'm excited about that because that'll save me at least $150, which is That's a steak dinner right there.
Yeah, that's just it nowadays. I think that's actually a good idea because no matter what you do, it's going to be expensive. But you go to Kroger's and you look for a decent cut and you look at the price and it's like, I might as well just, you know, go out and get somebody to prepare it for me. It's not that much more. And you get the whole meal, too. It's not just the steak. But anyways, Not on my diet, but I would do it like once or twice a year, maybe. I could do that. And I'm just happy I did my Kroger shopping. Got the refrigerator stocked up and, you know, the pantry stocked up. I don't have to worry about that.
Gotcha, yeah. You know, it's weird. I found that shopping for steaks is best done at night because they must restock at least where I go, but they seem to restock the coolers like, you know, night shift. You know, I'd say like around 10 o'clock or so, just before they close. Otherwise, you got to get up at the crack of dawn to get in there to get the good steaks. But yeah, man, I swear I get in there and I get some good steaks. But yeah, then like you said, I end up having to cook it. But just grabbing steaks for the family is like $130, $140 or so. And it is one of those meals you don't want to do, you know, a couple times a month, I think, you know, like once or twice a year. We try to do it a little bit more than that, but yeah, it's not a cheap meal by any means. But I think it's good for you. It's good to have the beef. It's good to, you know, have that steak and all that, you know, protein or whatever. It's good to treat yourself too. I mean, you do all that work around the house for ARPSC. You deserve yourself a good, hearty steak.
Oh, yeah, I'm good for it for once in a blue moon, so to speak. The only problem is when my extended family gets together, half of them are vegetarians, so we all have to kind of, you know, compromise. But then that's when we just end up going out. Everyone gets what they want off the menu. So that works, too. And, of course, you have the little grandkids that have completely different appetites.
and a certain type of mac and cheese. Can't have this type. You got to have the other type. Yeah, so then at this point, it's like, okay, lost cause.
Yeah, that reminds me of a comedian I was watching the other day, which, you know, I think it's a good idea to, if you get some time, put on some comedy TV shows. It's good to, stand-up comedians. It's good to, you know, get a laugh in every now and then, and, you know, we don't have enough of that anymore. Everyone's always outraged and, you know, all wound up tight, so take a break and have a laugh. But this comedian was saying, I don't care. I bought gluten-free cookies one time, and then from then on, I just buy regular cookies, and I put them in that gluten-free box, and nobody knows the difference. And he's like, I don't care, you know. I just got a kick out of that. Sort of seems like something I would do, but I don't know. I guess if somebody really has gluten allergies, which, I don't know. We never really used to until recently, so it's like I kind of don't think it's real, but who am I to question that? And then also, you know, that's someone's health, so. But yeah, I don't know. Gotta watch the gluten cookies.
Oh, now that one's hilarious. You had me laughing on that one. Yeah, I tried that gluten-free pizza crust. It was terrible. Never again. And, comedy. Robin Williams' bit on golf. If you haven't heard that, it is hilarious. It's a little bit on the adult side, so you'll have to tolerate that. But I'm not even a golfer. But his bit on how golf is created have you rolling on the floor.
K-E-A-W-U-O. Well, that's good. I'll have to check that one out. I really like this Brian Regan guy. I like his older stuff better, but there's a few new ones that are creeping up there. It's usually, I watch them. The algorithm suggests them, but once I remember their name, that's when I know, okay, I must like this comedian, but a couple of these other ones I don't remember. But another show that is really funny that I can't help but just fall in love with is it Whose Line Is It Anyway? I always got a kick out of that one with those guys doing little skits based off of, you know, things, and I don't know. That's good humor. That's good good entertainment, you know. It's quick-witted, goofy, silly guys. But, there's been a few good ones on there. They're all old. I don't know if they still do it, but if I just need a laugh and I'm laying in bed trying to go to sleep, but I can't, I might just go up on YouTube and type in Whose Line Is It Anyway, and or like Best Of, and they always crack me up. But yeah, Robin Williams, he's a good one. I haven't seen any of his stand-up in years, so I'll have to brush up on that. He was a classic.
Oh yeah, Whose Line Was It Anyway? That was Drew Carey's. He was the first host for that. Then I forgot the lady's name that did it after, but there's a Colin Macri and, I can't remember the names. But actually, there was one time Robin Williams guest starred with those guys on Whose Line Is It Anyways. You should look up that one. That was hilarious because the nature of how Robin can just do, ad hoc comedy, what it is. And he was just so good on that. But, yeah, that's a good show. Good laugh. I don't know how they do that, you know. Talk about no net script. They don't have any script whatever. They just make it up as they go.
Yeah, definitely Drew Carey, and then I forget already the other guy's name, but yeah, those two, they make the show. And then that other tall guy. The Colin guy's, the bald guy's hilarious. And then there's the other tall guy. Between those two are my favorite. But, boy, they just cracked me up. And then I was going to say, when I was saying that about that show, that I thought Robin Williams was on there. But I couldn't remember. They always have a guest. And I think I had seen that one, but I'll have to pull that up again. How's the groundhog doing?
I turned my back to him with the fence behind me. He's probably sneaking up on me. I should probably look around, but let him. He's not my land. Let him go live out there in the field. That's fine.
Yeah, for sure. Little buggers are out there trying to live their life too. So as long as they're not tunneling under your house and sheds and property or foundations, I think it's probably fine to live and let live. But I just got home, so I'm gonna run inside and chow down on some burgers and watch some TV shows or something, and try to make sure this phone is working. But thanks for the QSO and the ride home, and I will chat with you probably tomorrow. KE8WUO, I'll be clear on your final.
All right, copy your last there, John 73. Have a good one. I'm sure we'll talk tomorrow. N-8-W-R-O, I'll be clear as well.
You're connected to CMN Network. Currently connected to CMN Network. Connected to CMN Network.
KF8DRC from W8EAP.
You're connected to CMN Network.
W8EAP clear.
Connected to CMN Network.